In the 1986 movie, The Mission, we find the story of Rodrigo Mendoza. It's a story that takes place in the jungles of South America. If you've seen it before, you'll know that Rodrigo is a vile character. In fact, he is the worst sort of character. Rodrigo is a mercenary. He has been trained and hired to travel to the jungles of South America and capture unsuspecting people and sell them into slavery. As you might expect, being a mercenary, Rodrigo is an extremely angry and violent man. In the story, Rodrigo's violent temper reaches its apex when Rodrigo discovers his stepbrother in bed with his fiancée. And in a fit of violent rage, Rodrigo murders his brother. However, it's this murderous rage that causes Rodrigo to stop and think, and his eyes are open to the kind of vile man that he has become. He begins to take account of his life, and he's confronted with all sorts of sin and vile deeds. And in response, Rodrigo plunges into the deepest pits of guilt and remorse that you can imagine. In fact, he spirals into almost a suicidal depression over the kind of person that he's become. And burdened with guilt, Rodrigo, more than anything, wants to atone for his sin and experience some level of forgiveness. So in a last-ditch effort, Rodrigo reaches out to the other main character in the story, Father Gabriel. Father Gabriel is a Catholic priest who has established a mission to the very same tribe that Rodrigo has been trying to enslave. And Father Gabriel has a solution to this man's problem, to his unbearable burden of guilt. He assigns Rodrigo a penance. He assigns him something to do, in effect, to balance out the scales in his favor. "Do this," Father Gabriel says, and you'll experience forgiveness. You'll experience the release of guilt. You can count yourself forgiven by God. Well, what was the task? Rodrigo was assigned to place all of his mercenary gear, his armor and weapons, in a sack, and then drag them through the jungle to the mission on the other side. So Rodrigo sets out for this mission, hundreds of pounds of gear in tow, and the longer he pulls that burden, the more burden he becomes. He pulls that sack through dense jungle undergrowth and swims with it through rivers and carries it over ravines. By the end of the journey, he's absolutely exhausted. No strength left. Can't go another step. But before Rodrigo can shed this burden of guilt, there's one more obstacle yet to overcome. You see, the mission that Rodrigo was going to set atop a very high mountain. And so when he got to the other side of the jungle, the last step was to climb up the side of this mountain carrying his guilt in tow. He carried that pack for days and weeks, but to experience forgiveness, he still had to get to the top of the mountain. Many of us, I hope all of us, can identify with Rodrigo. We have come to face the reality that we are the worst sort of vile character. Our sin is heinous, and it has rightly produced an unbearable burden of guilt. We know what it's like to experience guilt and shame for sin. All of us know at the core of our being that we have blown it, that we are not the people that we need to be. We know what it's like to want to experience forgiveness. Some of you come here tonight, you're still carrying that burden. Some, like Rodrigo, have bought into the lie that if you can just carry that burden long enough, if you can just feel guilty enough for long enough, that eventually your good will outweigh the bad. Perhaps some of you have even been told that if you can do certain things, that it'll outweigh the bad, and in God's eyes, everything will be okay. That forgiveness will come. And as a result, like Rodrigo, you come to a Good Friday service exhausted. You're wiped out because no forgiveness is coming. You keep on carrying that burden, but the longer you carry it, the worse it gets. And it keeps getting worse because even though you might have stopped whatever particular sin all those years ago, you've still kept on doing other sins. You've still kept on adding to that level of guilt. There's no end in sight for you for how long you're going to have to carry that burden. Some of you have been Christians for a long time. You know the gospel, you believe the gospel, and yet you still carry in a load of guilt. Perhaps it's Satan coming to you. How could you call yourself a Christian with all the sins you still do? Remember what you did all those years ago? There's no way God would forgive you. He keeps reminding you of your sin, telling you how far you fall short of God's plan. Others, maybe it's not the devil, maybe it's just your own voice in the back of your head. You know you still sin every day. We still sin. We keep blowing it in 1,000 different ways every day, and it becomes easy for us to forget the gospel. My sins are too great, we think. Just think about all the things I've done since I became a Christian. Maybe I'm not really sorry enough for what I did. There's no way I can be forgiven. How could I be a Christian and still do these things? Am I really saved? Does God still love me? And the result? Guilt, shame, depression, lack of peace, lack of assurance, no joy, just burdens. You keep on dragging that pack, and you're exhausted. But beloved, I want to share with you some good news. I want to tell you about Good Friday. I want to remind you that the blood of Jesus speaks a better word than Father Gabriel. Brothers and sisters, turn with me to Hebrews 9, 11 to 12. This is how the author of Hebrews tells us of the gospel of Jesus. But when Christ appeared as a high priest of the good things that have come, then through the greater and more perfect tent, not made with hands, that is, not of this creation, he entered once for all into the holy place, not by means of the blood of goats and calves, but by means of his own blood, thus securing an eternal redemption. Brothers and sisters, doing penance is not the gospel. Earning forgiveness is not the gospel. Doing things to balance out your bad with some good is not the gospel. The gospel is that Jesus did it all for you. The gospel is that Jesus died on a cross 2,000 years ago and secured your forgiveness. This passage calls to mind those scenes from the Old Testament on the Day of Atonement when the high priest was instructed to go in to the Holy of Holies and intercede for the people by offering sacrifices to atone for their sins. The Holy of Holies was that inner room in the tabernacle, the place where God dwelled. Only on the Day of Atonement could the high priest enter this room, and he could only enter that room for the express purpose of offering atonement. And when the priest would enter into the presence of God, he would have to take with him blood. He would take with him the blood of a bull and the blood of a goat to secure forgiveness. And on that day, the wrath of God would be appeased as blood was sprinkled on the altar. But there was a problem in Israel. Every year, the burden of guilt kept coming back. The people kept on sinning. So the next year, the priest would go into the Holy of Holies again to appease the wrath of God. More blood, more bulls, more goats. Temporary appeasement. But when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth His Son. And Jesus came as the great high priest, the perfect intercessor, who came to make a once for all atonement for all of our sins. But Jesus didn't enter into a room in a tent in the middle of the desert. As the great high priest, Jesus entered into the Holy of Holies, the throne room of God, to intercede for us. And when He went into the throne room, He didn't take the blood of bulls and goats. No, you see, not only did Jesus come to be the great high priest, He came to be the sacrifice. He came to sprinkle His own blood in the presence of God. And that's what He did on the cross. He was pierced and crushed and bruised and broken to appease the wrath God forever. Paul said in Romans 3 that God put forward Jesus as a propitiation. That means that divine wrath was satisfied by means of a substitutionary offering. In other words, on the cross, God accepted Jesus as the appropriate substitute for you and for me. And because God's wrath was appeased through the shed blood of Jesus, our great high priest has secured for us eternal redemption. Redemption is the idea of buying something back through the payment of a ransom. My guess is that most everybody in here knows what it's like to owe somebody. Maybe you owe your dad $5, maybe you owe the bank $100,000. There's no getting around it. You're obligated to pay. Your debt stands opposed to you. You will pay your debt. In the same way, Hebrews reminds us that each of us has a debt to God on account of our sin. That debt stands opposed to us. But the problem is that we have so offended a holy God by the magnitude of our sin that this debt is impossible to pay. When you're broke, $5 might as well be $100,000. Doesn't matter what your sins are, whether the most severe or the most simple, you cannot pay your debt. No amount of penance will get you there. No amount of balancing out the bad with the good will overcome your debt. You stand before the great creditor of the universe, broke. But the good news of the gospel is that God took your debt and nailed it to the cross in the person of Jesus. God paid your debt for you in the sacrifice of His Son. Your debt is gone. You were once enslaved to your debt. But now, because of redemption, you can say, oh, the bliss of this glorious thought. Not some of my sins. Not just the sins I committed before I was a Christian. But every sin I have ever committed and will ever commit has been nailed to the cross. And I bear it no more. The good news of a Good Friday is that because of what Jesus has done by faith, you are forgiven. Your sins are gone. As far as the east is from the west, your sins are removed from you. And more than that, because of the cross, you have been found justified in God's sight. That means that on the cross, God declared Jesus to be guilty of your debt. He declared Jesus to be guilty of your sin. And because Jesus was righteous, God can declare you to be righteous through faith. On the cross, God laid all of your burden on Christ and laid all of Christ's righteousness on you. So if you're here this evening carrying a load of guilt and shame, if sin is weighing you down, if you are exhausted from guilt, from trying to carry that burden, I want to tell you that you don't have to carry it anymore. Jesus paid it all. You don't have to bear that burden anymore. You don't have to climb the mountain to appease God. Jesus already climbed Mount Calvary for you. There's a reason we still sing that old hymn, "At Calvary." Because at Calvary, mercy there was great, and grace was free. Pardon there was multiplied to me. There my burdened soul found liberty, at Calvary. There's a reason we still sing, "There is a fountain filled with blood." Because in that fountain, the most vile, the most wicked person, the most wretched, there may I, though vile as he, wash all my sins away. And it doesn't matter, again, what sins you'll continue to commit, though holiness is important. Those sins, too, are covered at Calvary. Listen to these words from Dr. Martin Lloyd-Jones. "It is finished in the sense that not only all the sins committed in the past were dealt with there, but all the sins that could ever be committed were also dealt with there. There is nothing left undone. There is no qualification concerning particular sins. All of the sins of those who believe on Him, every one, have been dealt with, and God has blotted them out as thick as a cloud. All the sins you may ever commit have been dealt with at the cross. So when you go to Him, it is the blood of Jesus, His Son, that is going to cleanse you." Is anybody here this evening? Because of Good Friday, there are no more burdens for those who come to the cross in faith. There is nothing left for you to do. There is no penance to achieve. Just come admitting you are a sinner needing grace, and your burden will be taken away. And therefore, as we were reminded earlier, you can leave here rejoicing. You can leave here resting, not working, because Jesus is pleading His blood. I have no doubt that there are at least some here this evening who have never really laid that burden down at the cross. Perhaps you thought of Christianity much like Father Gabriel, that earning forgiveness was more about what you could do for God rather than what God has done for you. So I need to tell you, if you will come to the cross by faith, you can drop that burden right now. Look at the cross. See the Lamb of God hanging there for you. Jesus will carry your burden. If you're a Christian, why are you still carrying that load of guilt and shame? Why are you still dragging your burden with you everywhere you go? His blood has been shed. Throw that burden down at the foot of Calvary, where God already nailed it to the cross. Before I close, I want to emphasize strongly to you, if you are a believer, brothers and sisters, because of the cross, because of Good Friday, on the account of the shed blood of Jesus, I tell you, on the authority of the Word of God, your sins are forgiven. Your sins are forgiven. Cling to that. Hold on to that. Meditate on that. Don't let anybody steal that from you. Your sins are forgiven. There is no more burden. You are forgiven, redeemed, and justified. The message of Good Friday is radically different from the message of Father Gabriel. Indeed, the message of the cross is radically different from every other religious claim. The Jews had a saying, "Take the burden of the law upon yourself." The Quran says, "No soul shall bear another's burdens." The dying words of Buddha, "Strive without ceasing." The dying words of Jesus, "It is finished." Everything necessary to secure our eternal redemption happened on Calvary. There, my burdened soul found liberty at Calvary. In just a moment, our choir is going to come and lead us in song. And then we're going to continue celebrating the accomplishment of the cross as we take communion together. So please use these next few moments in song to throw your burden down by fixing your eyes on Calvary. Have the choir come while I pray. Father, we are thankful for Calvary. We are thankful that we do not have to climb a mountain because Jesus already walked up Golgotha for us. What good news this is. Oh Lord, I pray that as we take communion together, we will eat and drink in the message of the broken body and the shed blood of Jesus. And may we throw our burdens down at Calvary. Amen.